This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونستنصره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إلها واحدا أحدا صمدا لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وأشهد أن نبينا وعظيمنا محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد يقول جل جلاله في محكم التنزيل فلولا كان من القرون من قبلكم أولو بقية ينهون عن الفساد في الأرض إلا قليلا ممن أنجينا منهم واتبع الذين ظلموا ما أترفوا فيه وكانوا مجرمين وما كان ربك ليهلك القرى بظلم وأهلها مصلحون. Today I want to offer a few points to those who, since the beginning of these events, 40-somewhat days ago, have decided or came to certain conclusions or have made certain decisions in their lives when it comes to their commitment and their understanding of what it means to be a Muslim. And if what I say today only falls on one ear, not even two of them, then there's some benefit, inshallah, within that. We continue to count the numbers. 15,000 people have been ruthlessly murdered. People we have a strong connection with. I don't think the world realizes the deep roots and how deeply we feel connected to our Muslim brothers and sisters wherever they are. How much it hurts us, how we mourn them all, how we know those who are related to them, or how we know them personally. I think that goes a little bit unnoticed within this world that we live in. And when people die, whether it's in the Holy Land or any part of the Muslim world, or as a Muslim, really almost anywhere on the globe, we feel a connection to human life when it is wasted, when it is taken without haqq, when it's taken without righteousness, without the truth, without honesty, without justice. And if this is something that you now have clarity on, and if you have figured out the importance of being committed for the long run, being committed long term, understanding that the change that we seek, the change that we hope for, the change that we want, does not happen instantaneously. Complex problems require complex solutions. And change does not happen overnight. It can happen in your heart overnight. But even the manifestation of that in your behavior will take time. And the change that you would like to see in your life will take time. And thus the change that we would like to see in the world around us will take time. He created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, not because he needed those 6 days, Jalla Jalaluhu, but because we did. Because time governs us, and every aspect of our existence is based within time. And the only way for us to change the world is to be patient. And by patient, I don't mean for us to sit and wait for things to happen, but to commit ourselves to the causes that we commit ourselves to, and then be patient in that process of commitment. And I am not going to continue to talk about needing to do that, because if you haven't made that decision yet, then I'm sorry, you probably never will. Because of what has occurred so far in this world, is that if it has not, till this moment, put you in a position where you had to make a difficult choice and turn things around for yourself, then I'm sorry, nothing will. And I'm not going to continue to waste my time in trying to sell it to you. If wake-up calls are there for a reason, but when they happen, if you refuse to wake up, then you refuse to wake up. And there's nothing anyone can do about that. So I'm going to leave that piece now. I'm going to move on from that piece forward. So if you feel left out, I'm sorry. I have nothing to tell you. What has occurred so far over the course of the last 45 days have enough realizations within them. There's enough realizations for everyone, each and every one of us within those 45 days for a lifetime of reflection and contemplation, and have more than enough within them for you to make a difference within the way you want to live your life. And that's it. And at that point, we move on. We move on. And we start talking about what exactly it is that we're going to be doing. And what those who have committed themselves are going to take upon themselves for the rest of their lives. And how we're going to work on it together. But if you have not come to that conclusion yet, then may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon you. Because I don't know what else needs to occur. What needs to occur? Do you need to see the Masjid al-Aqsa in rubbles? Do you need to see the Kaaba in ruins? What exactly needs to happen? Honestly, if we understand our deen, all it takes, it doesn't even take one life. It doesn't. It doesn't take one innocent life. It's before that. It's any act of oppression, no matter how small. Any act of oppression is enough for the Muslim to continue to commit themselves to justice until the day they meet their Lord. Forget about 15,000 in the last 45 days, or 500,000 in Syria, or 1 million in Iraq, or just keep on, or the hundreds and thousands of lives in Afghanistan that we can't even count those lives, or the lives all over the planet. Wherever every single person here comes from a background in a country where they have a numbers of people that died, in innocent lives that were wasted, that I will fail to bring up here because I'm not educated enough on them. So here are some points I want to share with you for those who have made that decision. Number one, the attempts on the Muslim identity, the attempts on the language, on the culture, on the value system, on the principles, have been going on for a very, very long time. The Muslim world, whether you look at it religiously, culturally, racially, whether you look at it geographically even, the attempts on erasing that identity has been going on for a very, very long time. The number of attempts are almost innumerable. I can't even count them for you. Some of them were attempts that were put together by the major forces that exist on this planet. And yet Islam continues to survive. And yes, the principles of Muslims continue to exist. And the reason these attempts occur, by the way, is that Muslims by nature, they stand for righteousness. They stand for justice. They stand for anti-corruption. And the world in general has never really wanted that. Status quo is better. A corrupt status quo works for those who continue to count the millions as they fly into their accounts. People don't necessarily want to change things. Or if they're going to change, they want it to change on their accord. It has to be under their supervision. It has to be something they're okay with. And Muslims just don't think that way. This is the real problem. The real erase of identity is that piece of your identity. You see, there's a lot of Muslims who just walk into masajid and pray and leave. They're happy with them. They're fine because they're toothless and they have no edge to them and they have no substance to them. They're happy with that. But a Muslim who's going to say that's wrong and that's unjust and I'm not okay with that. And no, I will resist your attempts to change who I am and take away my identity and take away my principle and my value system. That's a different story. But let me tell you that those attempts have been going on for hundreds and hundreds of years. And they have failed. And the reason they fail is because Muslims continue to adhere to their masajid. They adhere to their families. They educate their youth. We continue to do this no matter how dark it gets and how difficult it is. We continue to do that. We continue to take care of our families and have children and educate them and bring them to masajid and build masajid and bring children with all of the flaws that come with that, by the way. With all of the flaws of the masajid and those who run it and those who are in charge of it, we continue to do it. And in essence, the concept is still there. And that's important for us to point out for ourselves. If you're committed, understand this is important and it exists and it will never stop. The time it stops is the time where all Muslims have given up on justice. They've given up on righteousness. They've given up on istiqamah. And that's when the countdown to Yawm al-Qiyamah begins. And most scholars, when they talk about Ya'juj and Ma'juj, their understanding of it is just confusion. This is a time where there's no justice anymore. And the human race gets fed up. And it just, oppression, it just breeds anger. And it breeds hatred. It breeds animosity. And it can get people to the point where they stop thinking rationally. And some of the stuff you heard about occur. It's when Muslims stop speaking for that which is true or truthful. That's when. And as Muslims, this number one point is important. The attempts will continue. The attempts on your identity, on your principles, on your values will continue to try and take those away. See if maybe you'll compromise a couple of them. See if maybe you'll give up on a few of them. And we don't. And no matter how many they kill of us, no matter how much pure blood is spilled all across the world, we continue to care for our one another. To build our families, to have children, to educate them, and to fill our masajid. And we will continue to do that because that is the way back. That is the way back. Our causes don't die. We don't let our cause die, even if we're weak at a certain point and we can't seem to get our cause to the frontier. We can't seem to get it to the surface, but we continue to make sure that it does not die within the hearts of the people who carry it. So if you're committed, know that piece. With all the flaws that we carry, with all of the problems that you find in the masajid and the people who are leading it and the shuyukh and the imams and the ulama and the people and how they raised their children, there is still something there. We still adhere to these places. We fill them up. We bring our children. We try. And those attempts and that spirit is very, very important and it's very valuable to continue to harness and to continue to encourage and to keep going. Number two. Your message for the world around you should be, we will outlast you. We will outlast you. Because the grit and resilience that was taught to us by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is real. We watched him alayhi salatu wa sallam manifest and embody what resilience and grit was. We watched him. He didn't talk about it a lot. There's not a lot of it, but we watched him do it. We watched him just be relentless. Never stop, no matter what they did, no matter how hard they tried, no matter how many times they came and tried to get him to compromise even the slightest piece of his value system. No matter how much they asked him to slow down or to take a break or to give it, to just put a pause on it, he never did. And it's his resilience, his relentlessness, and his grit that they just could not keep up with. And he outlasted them, alayhi salatu wasalam. He did not have more numbers than them. He did not have more wealth than them. He did not have more arms or more status or more control or more connections or more networking abilities. No, he just had resilience and relentlessness and grit, and he outlasted them. And we will outlast you. We will outlast you. Paulo Coelho says that you're not defeated when you lose. You're defeated when you quit. As long as you keep on getting up, you haven't lost yet. It's when you decide that enough is enough and you stay down. That's when you lose. And as Muslims, we will outlast you. You will continue to speak for what we believe is correct. No matter what you do. No matter how many lives you take. No matter how much you threaten us. No matter how much you're willing to take away from us unjustly. We will continue to speak what we believe is the truth. And we will live for that. And that won't change. That piece is important. And the more you dig, the more you'll find. The deeper you dig, the more you will find. Palestine is the tip of the iceberg, brothers and sisters. Palestine is just the tip of the... It's just what's apparent. It's what is seeable. It's what's observable by people. It's an injustice that is just in your face. The more you dig, the more you'll find. The more you dig, the more injustices you will find. And the more batil you will find under the surface that needs to be dealt with. And as a Muslim, you have your work cut out for you. You have your work cut out for you. And that message has to be clear in your heart. That grit piece. I'm just not... The Prophet ﷺ said something beautiful. The hadith in the collection of Imam Ahmad. We tend to know this hadith in a different wording that's in not authentic. But the authentic one is the following. And this is the story. Abu Talib was being pressured by the people of Quraysh for the Prophet ﷺ just to stop. And Abu Talib always protected him, alayhi salatu wasalam. And finally, he was under so much pressure and they had threatened him so much that Abu Talib himself lost a little bit of his grit. And he came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and told him, Ya ibn akhi, ila tuhlikni wa tuhlik qawmak. Oh my nephew, don't ruin me and your family name, and don't keep on doing something that there's no end to. And like, you have to negotiate, open up, you have to have these discussions. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, listening to the only person left that was still supporting him on the outside, bail or step back. And it was an important lesson for him, alayhi salatu wasalam, because the only one who stands by you is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you depend on others, you're going to lose them and you're going to be very disappointed at the end. So a tear would run down his face, alayhi salatu wasalam, and he would say, Ya wallahi ma ana bi aqdara ala dhalika minkum an tashta'ilu min ash-shamsi bi shu'la. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, I am not capable of stopping what I'm doing, of sitting back, of pausing, of decreasing the amount of my commitment more than you have the ability to light a candle from the sun. And what he meant by that, alayhi salatu wasalam, is that that's not an option. It never was. It's never an option. To give it a break, to give it some... Think about the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. When did he schedule his time off, right? Where were his vacations? Where were his trips? Where did he go and just, you know, chill and enjoy the beach? Or when did he do these things, alayhi salatu wasalam? I'm sorry to say, when did he do any of this stuff? When did the people that you know actually do these things? Did they do these things? Did they live like that? Did they live in a manner where their focus was on the next time off that's coming up? Scheduling your breaks, making sure that you can retire. The concept of retirement is, to me, bizarre. It never existed. It's like, what, retire from what? From what? Retiring is when you're dead. You retire from living. That's the only retirement that exists. Aside from that, you're here for a reason. You're going to retire from serving that reason. You can say that I don't need to make more money. Use that terminology, because the terminology of retirement sounds really weird. It really does. I don't need more money. I can say that. I'm coming to a point, I don't need to make any more money. I have enough to take care of myself and my family. So now I can focus on doing what I'm here to do. Now, no more distractions at all. Now I don't need to spend any time trying to make money. I can just focus on doing what I am here to do and focus on the causes. We have to become creative with the way we express our causes, ya akhwan. We have to become creative in the way that we make sure that we take our causes from a local or a national platform to something beyond that. This has to, and that doesn't happen with a half-committed society, with people who are only half committed, only in their spare time, only when they have time. Your time is owned by God himself. All of your time is for him. The reason you go to work is because he told you to. Go make money and feed your kids. And don't stand in front of a masjid asking for handouts. Go make sure you take care of your family. So you go and do it. But there's no such thing as I need time to do this. You need time? Let me explain something to you. When someone comes to me and I don't see them for a while, I give a salam to them. I say, hey, where you been? And he tells me, I'm busy. You know what he's telling me? Sorry, Sheikh, you don't make the cut. I have a priority list. You ain't on it. You're not high enough. What you do ain't high enough. That's what they're saying. That's what you're saying. Look, your words and your actions to you may mean different things. I am here to translate them for you. When you say, I can't find time, what you're saying is, I don't prioritize anything to do with what you're talking about. It doesn't matter to me because what you care for, you will do. What you prioritize, you will do. 100% of the time, if something is on your priority list, you will do it. And if it's not, it won't. So don't lie to yourself. Yeah? I don't have time. You don't have time. That's all you have. That's all you got. And if you didn't learn, you just didn't prioritize this specific problem. This specific issue isn't on your list. When you say that, you feel better. Because at least now there's honesty. And when there's honesty, there's hope for maybe changing things. Islam is not a part-time gym membership. This is not something you do when you have the time for it. This is what you live for, and this is what you die for when needed. And there's anything less than that in defining what Islam is to you is just wrong. It won't function. But it's what they want. They want a quiet, non-confrontational, okay with the status quo type of Muslim. Just happy to walk into a masjid, do his prayer, and leave. They're happy. That's what the world wants. That's not what he did, alayhi salatu wasalam. That's not why he established these places. That's not why he taught us the Quran. That's not why he taught us to pray. None of it. There's way more to it than that. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه يغفر لكم يا فوز المستغفرين استغفر الله. الحمد لله وحده وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع نهجه ووفى عهده. إخواني وأخواتي، لم يبقى فيما نراه أمام أعيننا من الوحشية والهمجية التي يبديها العدو المحتل تجاه إخواننا وأخواتنا في الأرض المقدسة كلاما يقال، وإنما سطرت تضحيات إخواننا وصبرهم ومصابرتهم ومثابرتهم دروساً لنا كمسلمين نحيا في الغرب. الذي يفهم الكلام الذي أقوله هو إنسان أتى من تلك الأراضي، من تلك البقاع، من الأراضي المقدسة وما يحيط بها، الأرض التي بارك الله فيها وما حولها. فإن كنت تفهم هذا الكلام وعيت أنك موجود هنا لا لاختيار اخترته، وإنما لشيء أجبرت عليه. على الأغلب، في الغالب الأعم، أتيت إلى هنا بحثا عن حياة مختلفة، هروبا من ظلم، هروبا من استبداد. فاعلم يا أخي ويا أختي أن وجودنا هنا معلق ببقائنا وثباتنا على مبادئنا وعلى ديننا، لا أن نعلم فقط نحن ما الذي يحصل، وإنما أن نتأكد أن يعي الجيل القادم هذه المظالم وأن يثبت عليها. لأن المظلمة إذا لم يكن لها من يطالب بها، الحق يا أخواني إذا لم يبقى لمن يطالب به ذهب ونسي ودفن تحت التراب. وكم من مظلمة نسيت هذه المظلمة التي نقف عليها الآن. أنت الآن تخرج من هذا المكان وتمشي على أرض هي مظلمة تم نسيانها، تم قبولها بين أهل الأرض، مظلمة عظيمة. فإذا كنت قد شاهدت ما حصل لهم خلال هذه الأيام التي انقضت ومضت، ووصلت إلى نتيجة نهائية أن الطريقة التي ستحيا به حياتك يجب أن تتغير،
وأن المبادئ التي بنيت عليها وجودك يجب أن تتبدل، ويجب علينا جميعا أن نعود إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى عودا واحدا، وأن نغير من مضامين قراراتنا ومن أسبابها ومن نياتها، وأن نحيا حياة هي فعلا لله سبحانه وتعالى. فإذا وصلت إلى هذا علمت أننا كأمة ما زلنا نخضع لمحاولات الغير في تبديل هويتنا، وفي التخلص من لساننا، وفي التخلص من قيمنا. هذا لمن قرر هذا القرار، والذي لم يصل إلى هذا القرار بعد، يعني الله يرحمك. إذا كان الذي حصل لم يوصلك إلى هذه النتيجة بعد، ما زلت تنتظر شيئا آخر يحصل حتى يتغير ما في داخلك، حتى تفهم قوله تعالى إن الله لا يغير ما بقوم حتى يغيروا ما بأنفسهم، فوالله ليس في جعبتي شيء أقدمه إليك. فإن الله سبحانه وتعالى قد جعل لنا في هذا العام ما يوقظ ضمائرنا، فالذي يرفض أن يوقظ ضميره فهذا بينه وبين الله. أما إذا كنت وصلت إلى هذا فاعلم أن هذه الأمة أمة صابرة، تعرضت لا لقصف القنابل وإنما لقصف الفكر، وصمدت وبقي هذا اللسان حيا وبقي هذا الكتاب حيا، فاعلم أننا مطالبون بالإبقاء عليه ما استطعنا إلى ذلك سبيلا. My final point that I want to share with you: don't hasten Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hasten yourself. Don't hurry him. Don't be preoccupied by why it is that he hasn't done what you think maybe should have happened and why these things are occurring. That is a waste of time, and it's also borderline rude. It's not acceptable. We don't hasten Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we hasten ourselves. We don't ask why this has not happened and that has not occurred. We ask, why have I not happened? Why have I not occurred? And why am I waiting? What am I waiting for? What exactly am I trying to, what needs to occur in order for me to You don't turn to Allah. أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَنْ تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَزُلْزِلُوا حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ أَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ. The prophets and those who were standing by them will come to, came to a moment. The people who are doing it right, the people who know they're doing it right because they're standing by a prophet, they're not trying to figure it out as they go along like the majority of us. No, those who are with prophets, we're doing it correctly, who are doing everything the way they should have done it, came to a moment and said, "Mata nasrullah? When will the victory of Allah actually occur?" Say, "Ala inna nasrullahi qareeb." Indeed, it's close. Don't hasten Allah. It's not my business. It's not my part to hurry him. My part is to hurry myself. What am I not doing? What could I be doing different? And that making that decision and turning things around. Over the next few weeks, I'm going to talk about Surah Al-Anfal. Yes, Surah Al-Anfal. Surah Al-Anfal talks about the laws of success, or laws of victory, if you will. In those early verses, surahs in the Quran, it's not a long one. Everything around it is over a juzuk. And amongst them is only 10 pages. And it gives the laws. It's beautiful. I encourage you over the next week or so to read it yourself and see if you can figure out what I'm alluding to. And I'm going to share with you certain verses from the surah every week and show you what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala believes to be the reasons for success and the reasons for failure. What he's pointing out, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to us as what we need to do in order for us to find victory at some point in our future, and what is holding us back. And hopefully, inshallah, that will be for those who have chosen to commit themselves to a life where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the number one priority, where their deen is a close second, where their community is right there within those two priorities themselves. And hopefully we'll find our way within that. I hope that was a benefit to you. واعلموا أن الله أمرنا بأمر عظيم فقال إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وارض اللهم عن الأربعة الخلفاء السادة الحنفاء أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وارض اللهم عن أزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وعن آله الطيبين الطاهرين وعن صحابته الغر الميامين وعن التابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعنا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات. اللهم فرج هموم المهمومين ونفس كروب المكروبين وارفع الغم عن المغمومين وارفع الظلم عن المظلومين واحقن دماءنا ودماء أهلنا في فلسطين يا رب العالمين. اللهم احقن دماءهم، اللهم تول أمورهم، اللهم اجبر كسرهم، اللهم استر عورتهم، اللهم آمن روعتهم، اللهم اربط على قلوبهم، اللهم اربط على قلوبهم، اللهم انصر إخواننا المرابطين في المسجد الأقصى ورده إلينا في العاجل القريب يا رب العالمين، وردنا أجمعين إليك وإلى دينك ردا جميلا، وتب علينا اللهم من جميع ذنوبنا توبة نصوحة طهرنا بها قلبا وجسدا وروحا، وما ذلك عليك اللهم بعزيز. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. أقم الصلاة.